What's the most important global event over the last 2 weeks?
Olympics,
right? The Beijing Summer Olympics. It is probably the event that has attracted most attention of the whole world. And I believe it is absolutely the greatest Olympics in history. Starting from the outstanding opening ceremony. Go to the next slide. And then the next one. It reveals how beautiful the 5,000 years of Chinese culture is. And also then China winning the most number of gold medals in this Olympics. Next slide. How many gold medals has China won? 50 now? Okay, because this was from yesterday afternoon. Now already 51. So USA used to be the leader in Olympics, but now China is replacing USA in the number of gold medals, although NBC tries to rank USA still number one in the number of medals won, but in terms of gold medals, I think China is number one. And there were many historical moments in this Olympic history, in this Olympic event. Slide four, next one, next slide. Which one is Michael Phelps?
Right.
The one on the right, right? And he won by 1/100 of a second. And yeah, he won. He won 8 gold medals in this single Olympics. And he broke 7 world records and 1 Olympics record. So he made history. Another person who made history in this Olympics is the next. Who is this guy in the front? Usain Bolt, lightning Bolt. Okay, and the next one, how happy he was after he also broke the 200 sprint world record after he broke the 100 sprint world record. And then the relay, 400 relay world record as well. So he also made world record because there were only one person before him, that's Carl Lewis in 1984, who was able to win all 3 events. And he was the first man in history to set world records in all these 3 events at one single Olympics. No wonder a previous seminary friend of mine who went back to mainland China after graduation from seminary, and she's now working in Beijing. Through email last week, she said this: "Olympics is awesome. I'm so proud of China. 5 exclamation marks. I'm so proud of China. Never had such a strong feeling to feel proud of China, mainland China. I was also born in mainland China. I spent 12 years there, so I totally agree with her. But what if this can go on forever, this excitement? What if Olympics just go on forever without ending? What if summer vacation never ends? And what if school doesn't start tomorrow for the LSU college students? Wouldn't that be wonderful?" I know some of you actually shared with me, "I don't want to go back to school. You know, life is so good at summer vacation, Olympics." Unfortunately, as I'm speaking now, the Olympics has already ended in Beijing with a closing ceremony. I believe that would be almost as impressive as the opening ceremony. 4 hours ago in Beijing, and that is 8 o'clock Sunday, August 24th, Beijing time, and that is 7 o'clock in the morning in Baton Rouge, that's 4 hours ago, so it already happened 4 hours ago, it already ended. For this Olympics, many people had their dreams come true, like Michael Phelps, like Usain Bolt. But many people had to wait for another 4 years to have their dream come true. Those who have their dream come true want to relive the dream again 4 years later. But this can probably bring more disappointments for many others over the next 4 years and during the next Olympic events, because although we see those winners, the gold medalists, But there were many who did not get any gold medals, and some of them were crying when they could not get the gold medal. They were disappointed, and they had to wait again. So Olympics event on the outside, seeing the gold medalist winning the gold medal, it can be an exciting event. But if you look behind the scenes, there were many people who worked as hard but did not get the gold medals. And for them, the next 4 years might be another emotional roller coaster. But would it be an emotional roller coaster for you for the next 4 years? Before the 2012 Summer Olympics in London, I wonder what these Olympians have gained from the Olympics. Besides the medals for the medalists, how about other people? What have they gained from this Olympics experience? The question we should ask ourselves is, what have we gained from this Olympics experience? Has this Olympics made us better as a Christian, to make our dreams come true according to God's will? I strongly believe that, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. So even through Olympics, if you are a Christian and if you love God, you can benefit from it. And that's what I'm going to look at today. How can we benefit from this Olympics spiritually? Yes, we can benefit spiritually from this Olympics. I have been preaching a series on prayers, and I would like to ask, what have you gained? If you actually practiced what I taught in the first five messages in this series of six messages, and today is the last one, have you actually practiced that? What have you gained through praying to God? That can be exciting as an Olympics to the competitors in the Olympics, even to the audience. But have you been praying? Today there was an Olympics closing ceremony in Beijing 4 hours ago, and now it's the closing ceremony in Baton Rouge on the teachings on prayers, on a series of sermons on prayers. But this is not the end. It has only just begun. Praying is an exciting journey with God which never ends. If you understand what I mean, if you have been praying, you'll know that praying can be an exciting journey, even more exciting than Olympics, if you practice them. And if you indeed have practiced what I have taught you, I believe you won't experience the emotional roller coaster for the next 4 years before the next Olympics. And you will continue to benefit spiritually, and you'll be able to see your dreams come true according to God's will if you continue to pray. This is the last but not the least of the series. And here are the three things that you can do to help you to see your dreams come true according to God's perfect will if you continue to pray. First thing, next slide, don't worry. According to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 27 and 33 to 34, this might be a timely message to those who are going back to school tomorrow. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" And then Jesus gave another illustration to illustrate that we should not worry about our life. And then he concludes at verse 33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, again, do not worry about tomorrow, about school, about a new semester, and many other challenges that you will face. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." The most common prayer is a prayer in times of our needs. In such times, if our needs are not met, we might end up in big trouble. So that's why we often worry before we pray, because we have a huge need. And we often pray, often worry after we have prayed, worrying that if our needs will be met by God. But such worry shows that we don't really trust God. We think that maybe God is not really in control. God is not concerned for our needs. God does not really love me. God would not provide for my needs in a timely manner when you worry. That's the message you have sent to God. But God is always in control. God always cares. God always loves us. And actually, He always provides for our needs in a manner that benefits us in the most timely manner, to benefit us eternally. God's perspective is eternal. God always wants to answer our prayers in a time, in a way that will benefit us eternally, not from our earthly perspective. In the late 19th century, John Wanamaker opened a department store in Philadelphia. Within a few years, the enterprise became one of the most successful businesses of the whole country. But operating this store wasn't Wanamaker's only responsibility. Yes, he was the CEO of a big corporation, but he was also named Postmaster General of the United States, and he served as superintendent for what was then the largest Sunday school in the world at Bethany Presbyterian Church. He was the superintendent for the largest Sunday school in the world. When someone asked him how he could hold all those positions at once, he explained, "Early in my life, I read, 'Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.' The Sunday school is my business. That's my real business. All the rest are the things that God will provide when I seek His kingdom and righteousness." And Wanamaker didn't just say that. There was evidence to show that he indeed put God's kingdom and righteousness before anything else. In his store, there was a soundproof room, and every day he would spend 30 minutes praying and meditating upon God's word. He set his priorities straight in the beginning of each day. If you truly trust God, you would also set your priorities straight and live one day at a time without worrying about tomorrow. Because you know, if you seek God's kingdom and righteousness, God is faithful. He will always keep His promise, and He will provide your needs. So, let me ask, have you been spending time with God every day? Are you seeking God's kingdom and righteousness first, above anything else? If you are not, maybe that's the reason why you are living in anxiety, despite the many hours you put into your work, your studies, you still worry, there's no peace in your heart. Despite your hard work, there's not much fruit that you see from your hard work. And you sometimes feel like, although life is good inside, since there's no peace, there's so much worry and anxiety, you feel like you're living in hell sometimes. But you don't have to go through that type of torture if you indeed seek God's kingdom and righteousness first. Seek God's face first, the first thing of the day. And you will see God's power to carry you through the rest of the day with joy. Besides, in the future, you will receive the treasure that will be stored up in heaven, and that's something that cannot be lost. This is really a win-win situation if you think about that. If you see God's kingdom and righteousness first, you'll get eternal rewards, and even now, God will take care of your needs. and you would not worry, you would not have anxiety torturing you. This is God's prescription for anxiety for all Christians. I'm not sure if you are willing to take it. I'm willing to take it, and I've been taking that. The Olympians who worry about not being able to get the gold medal for the past 4 years most likely did not get it during the past Olympics because of constant distraction, anxiety, unhealthy mental state, and stress that affect performance. You'll see that the best performers, they were very calm before the performance. And those performers who messed up were those who were very anxious, very nervous before the performance. So even if the performer, the gymnast, or the Olympian indeed got the gold medal, I believe he's still a loser if he didn't enjoy the past 4 years. And even if he got the gold medal, the excitement of getting the gold medal only lasts for a very short moment before he starts worrying about not getting another gold medal again. This is really a lose-lose situation, even for a gold medalist. If he focuses his mind only on the gold medal and not trying to enjoy every day everything that he does and keeps worrying about that gold medal. The true Olympian is the one who enjoys the sport itself, and every day is a reward for him already. He tries his best, he enjoys the process, and can focus better without the anxiety. Most likely, he won the gold medal in the Olympics that just passed. Even if he didn't, he's still a winner in his life because he lived or she lived every day of his life as a joyful winner over the past 4 years, and he can handle not getting the gold medal graciously. I saw some of the Olympians who were very gracious after the competition, although he or she was not the one getting the gold medal, and they will sincerely congratulate the gold medalist, and they had a smile on their face because they had tried their best, and they enjoyed the whole process from 4 years ago until the time that they have finished the race. Are you a winner or a loser in your life? Are you a winner or a loser despite whatever academic excellence you have achieved? But every day, are you experiencing joy in your life? Or are you experiencing anxiety every day? Life is like a living hell. Someone says that death is not as terrible as someone who is not living. I'm not sure if you are actually living your life to the fullest, or are you just like a dead, living dead person, zombie. As I'm getting older in life, I found out that being able to go to one of the best high schools in Hong Kong, one of the best colleges in the USA, and then one of the best seminaries in the world did not make me a winner in life. I went through all that, I got all those. But living every day of my life to the fullest, by putting God first through time of prayer, reading of God's word, letting God's word live through me the rest of the day, asking God to fill my spirit with his spirit, so that I have joy and other aspects of the fruit of the spirit. That makes me a winner in my life every day. That's why when people call me in the office, sometimes I will be reading God's word, and that's what I cannot do without. I will start my day with reading God's word. If I don't do that, I feel anxious. I feel powerless doing God's word. So be a true winner of life. Don't be a loser. And don't go for anything less. Seek God's kingdom and righteousness first, and God will provide all your needs, and you'll be free from anxiety. The second thing, be patient. Next slide. According to Psalm 37, verse 7, it says that, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. There's no set time frame when God will answer our prayers. God is an eternal God. He is not limited by time. But we must always trust that God's DNA for answering our prayers is for a particular purpose, even if it is to build perseverance in us. While we are waiting, God is training us in patience. In order to accomplish God's purpose, we must be patient and wait for His answer, knowing that even if there's a delay, there's a good reason for that. There's a good purpose for that. Actually, sometimes God's purpose cannot be accomplished by answering our prayers immediately. Actually, by not answering our prayers immediately, sometimes God will achieve His purpose in our life. As God stated in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 23, "Those who hopefully wait for me will not be put to shame." Joseph was the pastor of the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church in Washington, where President Abraham Lincoln often attended. Among Joseph's most memorable moments was the day he held Lincoln's own Bible, the same Bible from which Lincoln's mother had read to Lincoln as a child. And Joseph remembers, "Book in my hand, I wonder where it would fall open." So he tried to open Lincoln's Bible, and it opened to a page which was some mark, it was marked many times, and which Lincoln must have read many times. It was the 37th Psalm, what I just read to you: "Rest in the Lord," or "Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for Him." I believe President Abraham Lincoln was a great president of the United States. He was a great Christian president of the United States, and whose efforts led to the liberation of the slaves, besides many other contributions to the country. I believe his success is closely related to his time patiently resting and waiting for God's guidance in his life. Patience is a great virtue, which seems very rare among young people, very young people. I see very young people typically are not very patient, but I see an older people more. That's why they live longer. If you're not patient about life, you might not live as long. If you're patient, maybe you'll live longer and you become more patient. Patience gives you time to think through the issues before you act upon them, instead of making a rash decision. As I get older, I find that patience is a great asset to serving God. I'm getting more patient than before. I'm still young, but I'm getting older. I'm older than most of you, probably twice of some of your age. I'm 37 already. Probably I'll be too old for Olympics. I found out that patience can be trained over time. For example, the arrangement of this room was just like this before I went to Taiwan. But when I came back, everything was rearranged. It was a test of my patience. Instead of making any rash decision like the person who rearranged the room did, without telling other people, without working with other people before making the decision, I did the following thing first. Even when I was in Taiwan, actually this has lasted for more than 1 month, because the Sunday before I went to Taiwan, after Taekwondo training, I came to this room to make sure the air conditioning was turned off, the light was turned off, and I already found all the chairs rearranged, turned 90 degrees, and one speaker was still there, one speaker was here. It was done only halfway, okay? So I noticed that, but I was in a hurry to get ready to go to Taiwan. So when I went to Taiwan, I immediately shoot an email to Ness. I asked if he knew something about this, you know, and he said he didn't know about it. But I said, get the room ready as it was already rearranged, you know, make sure everything worked to get ready for the worship service the Sunday after. So Ness did that perfectly, and then I asked some other people as well, and none of them knew who did this. So it remained a mystery until I came back. Then I made a public announcement about this during worship service, appreciating the good intention to make a good change, and promise to treat whoever did this a meal, a nice meal, whatever you want, okay? It's on me. For a rash decision made out of a good intention. It was a rash decision, okay? But it was made out of good intention. And I still want to appreciate that person sincerely, okay? Nobody admitted, nobody wanted that meal. So I remained patient, and I let the room stay in the mysterious arrangement for another 2 weeks even after I came back from Taiwan. Last Sunday, after having a meeting with the praise team, those who have served in the praise team, we had a meeting, all those who were present there felt the original setting arrangement was better. With the mysterious setting, what happened was that the drums would be killing the ears of those who sit next to the drums. Nobody could hear the piano. The speakers were not set up at symmetrical positions, and the speakers would be behind the microphone, and that would cause a higher possibility to have feedback if you have the speakers behind them, and the sound that's input in here come back from the speakers, and the speakers get into the microphone again, produce more feedback. I consulted with professionals before I set it up, okay? And there was less room in the front for the praise team and the speaker over there. I heard that Brother Billy Puckett was feeling like in prison, could not even move over there. And the speaker had to keep looking at the clock by turning his back towards the clock. But now it's so easy, you know, just look, and then the clock is there. And there were not enough chairs for all the members to sit during worship service because the mysterious setting could only allow less chairs. That's the result of a not well thought, impatient decision. But I didn't just switch it back without consulting other people. I very patiently waited for almost 3 weeks before everybody agreed that the old setting is better. So last Friday, Ned and I came here before Bible study, 1 hour before Bible study. It took us 1 hour with Albert's help to rearrange everything back to the original setting. And we wanted to make sure that the sound system also worked. And then now this is what you see, going back to the original, and we added like an aisle in the middle to make it easier for people to get in and out. And I also know there's someone who knows who did it. And she didn't tell me because the person who did it made her promise not to tell anyone about it, being afraid that would make people mad at him or her. But my question is, if this person is so afraid now, why did he do it or did she do it at first place without consulting me or Deacon Lillian before doing it? You don't move around all the furniture in your home, common area, like the living room, without talking to your parents first to surprise them. And you don't move around all the desks and the chairs in your school's classrooms without talking to the teachers first. Try doing that and see what happens in your school and at your home. My offer to reward this person with a nice meal is for appreciating this person's good intention and the courage to admit a mistake. This offer is still on for another week. If this person admits it within a week, you'll get the reward of a meal, my appreciation, but I do want to talk to this person to understand what was going through his mind when he made the change, okay? And so that this will not happen again. And because if it happens again, like this, without anybody knowing, not only in church, maybe in school, or in other occasions, I'm afraid it will cause that person big trouble and other people big trouble. So this is very serious. Impatience can cause serious, very serious consequences. This is not a serious consequence because I'm a very patient minister and I've learned to be gracious to people. And I want to only help this person to mature and not to make the same mistake again in the future. If this person keeps hiding from me, when I find out who this person is, and actually it's not too difficult, well, I already know who knows about it, and I will try my best to make sure this person will not be serving in any position in church for at least 6 months for protecting others from similar immature behavior. People who serve God should be someone who is very serious, who is very mature, not playing around, because this is God's house. So patience makes a big difference. Be patient when you are praying and trying to achieve anything good in your life. There are always consequences for impatience. Lastly, be persistent. Be persistent. Go to the next slide. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8 reads, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about man. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary. Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, Jesus said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God, who is just, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" Jesus ended this with a question, this parable with a question that seems to be out of place, but when you think more about it, it is not out of place. "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Think about that. Why did Jesus ask that question? Although God will answer some of our prayers immediately, there were many prayers in my life. I prayed immediately. God answered my prayers. But there were other prayers. God wanted us to continue to pray for these things, and these prayers will be answered for us at a later time. Because our persistent, meaningful, urgent prayers show our dependence and need for God's help. That's faith. Such prayers bring us closer to God and expresses our faith in God. Even if our prayers are not answered immediately, through persistent prayers, not giving up, our relationship with God will be closer. Our faith in God will grow. That's why in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, Jesus asked, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" If Jesus Christ comes back right now, will he find anybody who has faith here? Someone who persists in praying, depending on God for what he or she needs. The reality is, Summer Olympics 2008 is over. Michael Phelps and Usain Bolt made human history. You certainly can learn from them. But I appreciate more those Olympians who failed the first time, the second time, the third time, but did not quit. And they handled each performance calmly and gracefully, despite the challenges that they themselves were facing. They can even reach out to other lonely and suffering Olympians, or celebrate with those who succeeded. They truly enjoyed what they did without anxiety. Do not worry. With patience, persevered, persistence, until they finished well with a gold medal or not. They are the true Olympians. What they have gained from the Olympics experience is more than a gold medal. They have become winners in life every day, and they can help other people to become winners in life, not just in Olympics. And I salute to the following Olympians except one. D. These are the ones who have completed at least three Olympics, and they are at an age most people would think it's impossible for them to compete, and some of them still got gold medals. Let's go to the next slide. This is not a good example for you. This guy, because of injury and he was resting too long, so the referee disqualified him or said, you lost this competition for the bronze competition. And he was so angry, he kicked the referee at the face, at the head. That's something you should never do.
Sure.
Don't kick the referee of a competition. Don't kick or attack the minister of your church, the chief teacher in your school, or the parents in your home. Okay? So these are the authority, the leaders that God has put them there to take care of things, to rule over things. If you have a complaint, file a complaint in the right way and appeal without attacking or hurting anybody. So next slide, don't do this. These are the good examples. Next, Yang Wei, okay, 28 years old, competed in three Olympics. He was always just winning the silver medal, but finally he won the gold medal, not only for the whole team, he was comforting and encouraging his team members. That's why the whole team won gold medal. And later on, he also won the gold medal for like the overall gymnastics, all the different apparatus. So he is the true winner. Second one, this is Laura Wilkinson from Texas. She's already 30 years old, competed in three Olympics, and she won one gold medal like two Olympics ago, although she didn't get any medal, but she was always like smiling. I really liked the manner, that's the true Olympian spirit in her. Next one, and this is a 33-year-old Olympian. She competed in five Olympics, and she's a mom already of a 2-year-old daughter who has leukemia. Actually, the reason why she went from Russia to Germany was in order to help her daughter to be cured from leukemia, and she won a silver medal. But her motivation was to help her daughter, not to win the medal, and God still gave her a medal. The next one, and this is Constantina, okay? She won the marathon. And she is already 38 years old. And she won people almost half of her age because of her perseverance, persistence, patience. These are good qualities that I see in her as well. And the next one, this is the oldest, 41-year-old Olympian. She also has been in the Olympics for 5 times, and she already is a mom, but she came back after becoming a mom to continue to compete. Did she win a gold medal?
No.
Silver, right? So that's a good example. It's not the color of the medal, it is the spirit of being an Olympian. That makes the difference. So these are the winners in life. I believe they continue to be successful in their life with the Olympic spirit they have demonstrated. Okay, let's pray and ask God to help us to also be true Olympians in our life as well. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you because we had a wonderful time seeing the Olympics, and not only how much China has improved as a nation, but we have seen many good examples of sportsmanship, and in that we can learn many spiritual lessons. I just pray that you help us to learn from those good examples, learn to not to worry about tomorrow, but lift up everything into your hands and seek your kingdom and righteousness and believe that you will provide our need. Help each one of us. Some of us have already started the new semester. Some of us will start the new semester tomorrow. I pray that you will give us joy to live every day to the fullest as we come to you to seek your face the first thing in the morning. When we set our priorities right, we know God will give us peace and give us strength and wisdom to overcome all difficulties in the new semester. I also pray for patience for each one of us especially the younger ones, train us, help us to grow in patience. That's a great, great character. And that through patience we can accomplish great things for God. I pray also for perseverance and persistence in the coming semester. Every day of a night we'll be facing difficulties. Some of them are really the same difficulties that we face every day. We sometimes want to give up, sometimes we feel bored about our studies, but Lord, let us see the purpose behind all that, and let us be persistent, let us persevere, and let us see that that's not our main business. Our main business is to serve God, and God will take care of all the others. I pray that you'll make each one of us a true Olympian, and 4 years later, when we see each other again, we will all have become mature. We can all shine before people, and when people see us, they see Christ in us. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.